Amen. Confession is good for the soul, is it not? Confession is good for the soul. And I got to tell you, is there anybody in here who struggles with sin? I'm glad to know I'm not the only one. It's a daily struggle, isn't it? It's something that we go through over and over again. And some of the worst parts are, there's certain sins in our lives that we struggle with that sin, and then we get a hold of it, and we start walking in victory, and then it comes back again. And, you know, before I became a Christian, and I grew up in the church, I grew up trying to skip church most of my younger years, and my mom saying, no, you've got to go, but as I grew up in the church, and before I became a believer, man, I would look at the lives of the adults in the church, and I would use that as an excuse for me to say, see, that's why it's not that important. That's why, because I look at what people say and the difference between that and what they do. And I can't tell you now, as a pastor for and in full-time ministry for more than 25 years, I just aged myself, didn't I? I feel a little older all of a sudden. But being in ministry all these years, one of the biggest things I hear from non-believers is there's no difference. Now, there is a difference between non-believers and believers. There's a spiritual, huge difference. It's the difference between death and life. But I struggle with sin. And I struggle with sin every single day. And so one of the things that I share with the people around me that ask me and talk to me about those things is, don't follow me. Don't follow Christians. We all need to follow Christ. He's the one we follow. And I'm just honest with people. I said, yeah, you're right. We're hypocrites, and I'm the biggest one of them. I'm a pastor. I believe in Jesus Christ. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. And yet I still choose to sin. So yes, you are looking at a very big hypocrite here. I think we need to acknowledge it, right? I think we need to be honest with people and not say one thing and do another. And yet, sin doesn't have the hold on me that it used to. I'm growing and I'm maturing, and as I go on, There's a big difference of how sin is affecting my life now and how it used to, and how I'm controlled by things. Praise God. Well, we need to, right? Amen. Amen. Well, 1 John 1:5 through 10 is the main scripture that we're going through here. And it's, this is the message we have heard from him and declared to you. God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. I've got good news, guys. God is light. And in him there is no darkness. So if there's no darkness in him, and I am his child by faith, because I believe and have received the truth that Jesus died for my sins, that he came and he walked this earth, and that he lived a life without sin, and he took my place, because holiness and God could not be in the same place. My sin, your sin needed to be dealt with. His holiness needed to be preserved. And so he took on sin. He became sin for us. He took our sins upon himself. And the depth of that, the truth of that, there's freedom, there's power, there's joy. But it goes on to say in verse 6, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. Is that a little bit of a worrisome verse for anyone? We all admitted, or at least most of you, that we sin, that we struggle with sin. And it says, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Guys, the blood of Jesus purifies us from what sin? Some? All. All sin. All sin. Verse 6 and 7 says, what brings real fellowship with one another? What brings it? Confession leads to real fellowship with God and with each other. Guys, think about this. For us to be in real relationship, what needs to take place? Actually knowing each other. Why do we have the time of fellowship and food downstairs after the service every Sunday? Is it just because we're hungry? Well, let's be honest, that is a part of it. Thank you. We have to keep it real, right? We get hungry. It's time. But it's not just for the food of the body. It's for the food of the soul. It's for the fellowship of believers. It's for us to get to know each other. It's for us to be able to spend time and so we can come beside each other and work through things. And guys, you guys got prayer requests, don't you? I've got prayer requests. Right now, I shared a little bit at the beginning. I'm having a hard time with missing my sons. It's a part of my mind nonstop. Every time I walk through the house and I hear all this silence. Man. The girls are quieter than the boys. Well, the boys and the girls together bring a lot of noise. But, man. And I'm still, you know, you still have those feelings. And there's a lot that I need prayer for. I've got areas of my, I tell you, we had an elders meeting yesterday. And it was more than just a meeting. It was a time of going through the Lord's Prayer and hearing from God. And we spent 5 hours, it turned out, I think. And I was undone. I felt, I had all these plans of what I thought that was going to entail. And I just felt exposed before God. I just felt humbled before him. And God was speaking and we were listening. It was a powerful time. It was a time of coming together and hearing from him. We have fellowship with one another as we walk in the light. And it's the blood of Jesus that purifies us from all sin. Confession leads to fellowship. But what's the opposite of that? Confession leads to fellowship. Living a lie brings bondage and isolation. So if confession... Let's talk a little bit about confession. What is it? What does it mean? As we talk about confession, what does it mean? And guys, one of the things that I think it's important for us to understand is we are saints if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Bible calls us saints who sin. And I think that's a healthier picture than sinners saved by grace, than the focus on the sinners. We were sinners. And then we were saved by grace. Now we're saints who sin. And so having the proper picture of who we are, not only of who we are, but who God says we are, and what the Word of God calls us as children of God, we are saints. I don't feel like a saint. But we are saints. Saints who sin. And we've got this Father who wants to meet with us and comes after us. And we can experience that in a new way through confession. And the picture I get here is the picture of Jesus with the lost sheep. Why are, you know, the sheep is lost from the herd, and it's a picture for us of God leaves the group and goes to the one. Well, why is the one all by himself? Well, sin. It's a picture of the lost sheep going out and is separated because of sin. Now, what if the shepherd goes out to look for the sheep? And imagine this. The sheep by himself is in trouble, in a hurry. because he needs to be led to green pastures, to be shown where to drink and where to eat and how to be cared for and protected from the elements and from evils that come. And what if, as the shepherd is looking for the sheep is hiding from the shepherd? Guys, in our sin, it's like we're the sheep, and rather than looking for the shepherd, we're saying, I'm so, and sometimes it's because of guilt and fear and shame. Sometimes it's because of pride. I don't need the shepherd right now. I want to do my thing, my way, in my time. Don't tell me what to do again. Those sheep keep, there's got to be better grass over here. There's got to be more to life over here. Confession. Whew, man, confession is a powerful, powerful thing. James 5:16 in the first part of the verse says it this way. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Confess and pray. Why? Why? So that we may be healed, right? There's physical healing. There's spiritual healing. There's emotional, relational, spiritual healing that needs to take place in us all the time. And God is concerned about the whole person. Not just the physical, not just this, but the whole person. If Jesus forgives sins, does Jesus forgive sin? If Jesus forgives sins, then why do we need to confess to each other? I mean, think about that. Remember what it said in that before in verse 7 of 1 John 1. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. If we're not hiding what we're going through, and we walk in the light, there brings fellowship with each other. And so the first thing that we've already talked about is confession leads to real fellowship. But it does even more than that. Confession brings healing. It brings healing. Has anybody ever gone through something where you were undone by your own sin? The consequences of your sin had just come crashing down. And you were just, and then through confession and through prayer and being and somebody walking with you and you share and God works through them, and somehow, some way, your situation hasn't changed. The consequences of your sin haven't changed. But your joy and peace have been transformed. And you've gone from a place of trying to hide and not deal with the consequence of sin to now being in right relationship with God and with believers and with other people. So guys, I have a few ideas that I've written down, some ideas on giving confession. We're going to look at both giving confession to each other and receiving confession. So the first area of focus of giving confession is the first one is examining our conscience. Guys, have you ever come to that place where you just need to be still, turn off the TV, turn off the radio, turn off this, turn off that, be still and be quiet before God. And then you examine. You examine. You lay yourself open to God. And this is where we put ourselves in front of, I love how one writer, I can't remember who it was, but he called it the gaze of God. We put ourselves under the gaze of God. And we're under his eyes. And we're saying, God, Is there something I need to deal with here? And I want to say this about confession in this area specifically. I've had a number of times in my life where I've had to go before God and say, God, in this time of examination of myself, I'm going way back. I'm going all the way back. And God, just reveal to me my sin. It's amazing that we can sin and then years later have patched over it in ways that we don't even remember it. We feel the weight of the consequences of the sin still, but we don't remember it. And when we say, God, please reveal to me, starting way back, reveal my sin. It's amazing how, what I do is I take a pen and a piece of paper and I start writing the things down, because as God is revealing them, I'm amazed at how many things come out. And there it is, and some of them are more recent, some of them are very recent, some of them are pretty old. And I bring those things, and it's the examining of the conscience. Guys, that's such an important piece of the whole idea of confession, is being real before God and asking Him, through the Holy Spirit, God Himself, to reveal to us what we need to. Guys, why is it that right now, over-the-counter drugs and addiction to over-the-counter drugs are beyond what they've ever been in the history? It's an epidemic right now. People are self-medicating at an alarming rate. I saw a commercial that dealt with this. It was very effective. It was a woman was sitting in her car, and she was agitated, and she was crying, and she was sitting there, and she was looking at this wall about 20 feet ahead of her with something in front of it, and finally she drives, gets as fast as she can, drives and hits it so that she can get, because she's had no way to get more medication, so she's willing to injure herself to get more medication, and it made a good point in the commercial. But guys, we've got an epidemic around us of people trying to deal with the emotions and the junk and the anxiety and the pain and the struggle and the emotional brokenness. We've got a world around us of people who are yearning to be free from that, and they're turning to anything they can, and it's just making it worse. First one, and then people will go, not only will doctors prescribe more often, but often people will go to multiple doctors. Guys, there's a lot of pain out there. There's a lot of reality out there. The first area of being free and experiencing peace and joy and freedom from all that bondage is examining our conscience. The next area is allowing the pain to be experienced. In examining, we don't then just cover it up. We allow ourselves to feel the weight of it, because we need to be what? Real before God. God doesn't want us to say a nice-sounding prayer, oh, God, please forgive me, and oh, and have it sound really beautiful and nice. And He wants reality. And when we are believers and we bring sin in, there's that civil war in our flesh, and it's destroying us. Praise God, our conscience is feeling it. And so it's important to be real and to allow the sorrow and the pain to be expressed before God. Don't be Christian-y. Don't speak Christianese during these times. When we're praying before God and when we're praying with others for help, as we pray to Christ Jesus, as we pray to our Lord, allow the feeling of sadness and regret to be experienced. Be real. A godly sorrow comes natural with confession. It's a natural response, because we know we've sinned against God. And we know there's consequences to the sin. And yes, God will forgive, but the consequences will be felt. But we can experience peace and joy now in the midst of it, and not keep going down that road further and further. The third area, examine our conscience, feeling sadness and regret, then committing to avoid sin. See, real confession with repentance is a turning from our sin. And guys, we don't need to be in bondage. Yes, we will all struggle with sin every day, but we don't need to be bound and controlled and in a prison to sin. Does that make sense? We don't have to have that spiritual bondage. We can be free in Christ. But freedom is not experienced if there's no confession, because otherwise we're trying to deal with it ourselves. You ever been there even as a believer? I got this one, God. We might not say it, but we live it. We think it, we feel it. So often, this is my gut response, just to confess before you. My gut response is, I'm going to get this dealt with and I'm going to come to God. I'm just too big of a mess right now. I can't deal with it. Only God can deal with my sin. And so it makes no sense. And we know it here sometimes, but we don't experience it. Why? I got to tell you why for me. Number one reason, pride. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to make it right. Try harder. Rub some dirt on it. Right? That's what we were taught growing up, right? Figure it out. Stop. The reality is, in real life, in real time, sin is greater than me. The enemy is greater than me. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. My God is greater than the enemy, my flesh, and this world. I am not. Committing to avoid sin. In confession, we ask God to give us a desire for holy living. God, make this sin, make this area that I'm struggling with, every time I think about it, every time I struggle with it, give me a bad taste in my mouth. Give me that sickening, that sour taste of this sin. That when the temptation comes, there's something inside of me that instantly responds to, I don't want that. I've lived that lie long enough. I've been controlled by that sin long enough. I want to be free in Christ. Free in Christ. Guys, think about that. Being free. Think of what it meant for those throughout all of history who have been slaves. We know in this country the history, some of the history of slavery, the ugly truth of slavery. It is ugly. It is sin. It is grotesque. And imagine going from the bondage of slavery to freedom. Guys, it's the same thing spiritually. Being bound and controlled and being used by sin and by the enemy of God. And then to be set free, does it make sense to say, bind me again? Guys, when we commit to saying, God, make this detestable to me. Make this sin gross to my senses, to my soul. Confession brings healing. One last thought on giving confession. We need to come to a place where we stop our self-examination. It's important to be real with God, but then you go through this process that we've just talked about. You don't get stuck at self-examination. You don't get stuck and live and go from camping to living in that one spot. Because we must, otherwise it becomes self-condemnation. If we get stuck there and don't move forward in the process of the healing, we start condemning ourselves and the enemy has a new victory in our lives. This is the temptation by the enemy. This is good. God's holding out on you, man. This is so much fun. You don't have to think about tomorrow. There's not real any real consequences. Everybody's doing it. It's not a big thing. We sin, we partake, we give in. What does the enemy do next? And you call yourself a believer? Are you serious? Your faith's not real. If your faith was real, you wouldn't have sinned. He's playing both sides. As we come to that place of confession, of being real before God, if we don't get past that place, we start just condemning ourselves. And that's not freedom in Christ. That's a whole new kind of bondage. Confession does. It begins with sorrow. But guys, hear this. Confession ends with joy. It begins with sorrow, but it ends with joy. So after the time of confession, there needs to be that time of being released, being set free from bondage and the slavery to sin. Let's continue on in 1 John. Verse 9 of chapter 1. If we confess our sins, I love this, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Think about that. All unrighteousness. We've got a lot of unrighteousness. And as we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. He's just. That sin has to be dealt with. That's why Christ died on the cross. He's just and holy. Sin is no laughing matter. God doesn't just wink, it's okay, you're with me. No. He takes it for real. The reason Christ died on the cross, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, perfect unity, the Trinity, one God, three persons, in perfect unity with each other, all eternity past, future, present, was disrupted at that moment. Why? His love for us, His willingness to deal with this problem of sin so that we could be with Him for eternity. Because holiness and being just, God is a just God. When we see injustice, we should be affected. When we see things done wrong, we should stand up and get involved. Because that's what our God does. We're not called to look the other way. God doesn't look the other way from sin. He gets involved, personally involved. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Truth leads to confession, and confession leads to change, to transformation. Back to where we were in the first couple of verses of this. If we're in darkness, if we're living the lie, not only are we, like the picture I gave at the beginning, the sheep hiding from the good shepherd, but we're hiding from each other behind these masks. These masks of lies. Guys, we need to be real before God and each other. And in that, it says in verse 10, if we claim that we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not within us. Guess what? It's important for us to be humble and to say, yes, yeah, I'm a sinner. Yes, I'm a saint, but I'm struggling with this sin. I need help. God, I need help. Brother, sister, I need help. Now, in this, we talked already about being the one who's giving the confession to God and to others. Let's talk a little bit about being the one who's receiving confession. The one who's receiving confession. Because remember where we were in James. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. So we're to confess to each other. Why? So that we can be healed. So they can be right. There can be health. There can be blessing. And if we claim to have no sin, we're lying. We're putting up these masks. And we're living a lie with God and with each other. We can't come to faith in Jesus Christ if we think, if we're unwilling to be real before God with our sin. Part of salvation is saying, God, I am a sinner. I'm separated. I need you in my life. Forgive me for my sin. You died on the cross. You rose again. You conquered sin. You conquered death. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I'm yours. I give you my life. I don't know what that means. It is terrifying. But I'm tired of messing it up on my own. I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. Some ideas on receiving confession. First area, from this area of verse 10, we're all in need of the cross. We're all in need of the cross. There's no room for an attitude, a superior attitude, for being disgusted by somebody else's sin. Guess what? Their sin is just as gross as my sin. It might look a little different. It might be in a different area, but sin is detestable to God. And so how dare I? You struggle with what? Oh, my goodness. How long have you been in the church? Really? Guys, there's no room for a smug, superior, self-righteous attitude in receiving someone's confession. I want to tell you this. What I look for in leadership, what we are blessed with our elders, with our deacons, with our deaconesses here at this church, what I look for in leadership is if somebody's struggling, who are they going to be prayed for? Who are they going to for help? Those are your leaders. Because they've opened themselves up in real relationship. They are living out the gospel. Praise God, we've got leaders at this church who are living this out and receiving people's confession without an arrogance. Pray for us. There's times where I kind of like it that it says Pastor Matthew Shorak. Hey, Pastor. We got to be careful with any of that mindset. That is so destructive. It is so dangerous. It's an area of service. That's it. We're all in areas of service. We're all in areas of service for God. It's up to God. It's not up to us. First one, remember we're all in need of the cross. The second one is pray for increased discernment. When you're receiving someone's confession, pray, God, help me hear their heart and what they're saying, and help me hear in the gaps of what they're not saying. Help me be able to discern from your Holy Spirit and hear from you as I'm hearing from them. God, let me not only come to it humbly, but speak to me too in this process. Help me get there. Help me understand what's being said and not being said. The third area is, and this is so key, guys, be quiet. Sometimes when people are giving confession, well, first of all, it's hard to give confession. It's hard to give it to God. It's even harder to give it to another person that's right in front of you. I don't know why it is. Have you ever had this? A sin that God knew about, you've been a believer for a long time, God knows you're struggling with it, and you haven't confessed to another person? Anybody have some of those sins? Right? Yeah, those ones, okay? When we are convicted by the Holy Spirit and God speaks to us, and we confess, there was a time in the meeting where Glenn shared a testimony, and I felt cut to the quick. And I gave him a nudge, and he gave me a nudge back, and a lot was said. Man, When God speaks, we need to be real. And when someone is confessing to us, man, we need to be quiet. We need to give time because sometimes it's very hard to get there. And in those times of silence, that's a great time for prayer. It's a great time for prayer. Praying for them. God, I pray for my brother right now. He's having trouble. He's close to confession. He's desiring to confess. And he's feeling shame. He's feeling guilt. Lord, I pray that he would know that this is a safe place. Not outwardly saying these things, in your head, between you and God. Praying that they would get to that place to where they can share. Give them time to confess. And when the confession comes, what needs to happen? First of all, truth. Truth. And one of those things that comes to mind is, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Guess what? With the confession, that sin is not who you are. I've said those words to my children at times. I've said them to other people. There's something freeing where I understand that sin, that's not who you are. That's not your identity. That's a lie from the pit of hell, from the enemy of God. Speak the truth of the word of God in. And pray, and pray, and pray the biblical truth on the person. So that what? So that you may be healed. They may be healed. Pray for healing. Pray for healing, because what's the reality? We all need healing. I want to end with this. Where is it in your life that the enemy is just messing with you? Where is it that he's got a foothold or a stronghold on your life? For all of us, it's different. And we as people tend to categorize sin as small sin and big sin. Be so careful with that. Sin is sin before God. Do certain sins have greater consequences? Absolutely. But the heart of sin, it's what the enemy is using to just smash us and keep us under his thumb, to keep us in the dark. To keep us in the dark. Guys, we are children of light. We don't have to be like the cockroaches. Every time light comes on, we scurry for a dark corner. When truth comes in, for the believer, it's, oh, man, it's light, it's life, it's get, oh. My little mermaid moment. I love that movie. I don't know why. Man, life, light. That's where we belong as believers. And that comes through confession. Be one who's willing to confess to others your sins. Be someone who can receive the confessions of others well and bring the truth of God into the blessing of the healing of the person. It's not us that does any healing. We're just ambassadors. But we bring the person to the one who brings the blessing, who brings the truth, who does the healing. And that's our Lord and Savior. And I want to encourage you, if you don't know the love and the power of being healed from sin, grab somebody near you. If you've come with somebody and you know that they know Jesus, talk to them. Confess, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. was at a meeting, and I remember being at the meeting years ago, and God prompted my spirit, go home. Go home. I'm in the middle of a meeting, God. Go home. I go home. There's my oldest son. First thing he says to me is, Daddy, I need Jesus. Had the confession of sin, had the, I'm broken. I don't know what's up, you know, in smaller kid language. As God is moving in our lives, He's moving in your life. He wants you to experience joy and freedom and peace. And we can have it. We can experience the kingdom of God in part now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. We can experience His kingdom now. That's a good kingdom. Oh, it's good. Let's live there. Let's live there. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, you know I, in so many ways, don't deserve to be up here giving this message, Lord. Lord, we are all broken. We are all sinners, and yet you do not see us as sinners if we've come to faith in you through Jesus Christ. You see us as sons and daughters. You see us as saints because of what you've done, not because of what we've done. Because of your death, burial, resurrection, Lord, because you have conquered sin and death. And Father, for that we are so grateful. And Lord, we ask that we would grow in this area, this discipline of confession, this area of receiving from others confession and confessing one to another and praying for each other so that we may be healed. Lord, we pray for healing. I pray for a blessed healing on our people today, Lord. I pray that there would be incredible times, Lord, and protect us from being the swine. There's the scripture, Lord, that says, don't cast your pearls before swine. Lord, may we not be the swine. May we receive people's confessions and not spread them, not be loose with the truth, not give away information, but we would hold on to that trust, that we would honor what you have called us to do, to be receiving confession from each other. Father, thank you for what you're doing. Lord, I pray that we would see freedom in the lives of our people here in new ways because of this truth, Lord, because of experiencing this truth in confession and being healed. Lord, we pray for healing, spiritual, emotional, relational. Lord, in all the areas of our lives, Lord, we pray for healing. We pray for wholeness. And Lord, that we would be able to receive that and give it away. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.